All right, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is great to be back as we have Calvin Watkins coming up at 3:20. And look at the text, 903. Welcome back, Gavin. Don't start the new year off by peeing somebody off. Love you, rat. Love you too, buddy. Thanks for making this part of your day. I don't know. You know, it can happen at any time, to be honest with you. I have a commitment to speaking my mind, calling it the way I see it. The way I see it now, it's time for the NFL news of the day. Here's Wolchuk.
Let's do it. Stat of the day for you here. The New York Jets have used more kickers than they have wins this season. Just brutal. Brutal for the Jets. 5 kickers, 4 wins.
What about Greg the Leg?
I don't know. Injuries, also maybe just play.
That leg's not legging anymore.
His leg's not legging, man. He's not showing it off quite as much as he used to.
Got that Justin Tucker
syndrome. It's a big problem. Yeah, he did. He did. We did get the Pro Bowl teams announced. Now, this used to be cool. Like, we used to have a whole edition on ESPN. We'd look forward to it. Now it's like, I don't think anybody cares about the Pro Bowl anymore.
No. Oh, why? Because we're not selecting like players for dodgeball and tug of war. And
well, and they're bringing back some of that this year, which will be fun. But I think a lot of these guys end up kind of opting out. And now you end up having like options 5 and 6 that are actually playing in the game. I mean, we had Tyler Huntley, and no disrespect
to Tyler. Our flag football game?
Yeah, and he ended up being a quarterback of the Pro Bowl, and it's like, this is kind of where we probably draw the line here. I mean, Patrick Mahomes did not make the Pro Bowl team, guys.
It's embarrassing.
He is the first quarterback in the history of the game for his team to have won 15 games in a season, and he did not make the Pro Bowl.
It's an embarrassment.
There's a chance, Dawson, that our running back is going to get the MVP now.
Could happen. Yeah.
If they're voting like this, maybe we have a chance.
He did not make it. The Ravens lead the way. They've got 9 Pro Bowlers. In fact, Zay Flowers is the first Ravens wide receiver in the history of their franchise to make the Pro Bowl.
Okay, did you have to double check that?
I did.
Because
I was sacked here.
I felt like this was a sacking, like the first sacking of the new year. But
like, there's no way, right? Like, they've had some okay receivers over the years. Derek Mason had a nice run for a while.
Yeah.
Are we not counting when they were the Browns?
We're not counting when they were the Browns.
No, this is just when they were the Ravens.
Why not?
No.
Well, that's the line of demarcation for this particular stat of the day.
It's just like we found out the Stars aren't counting the Minnesota North Stars. You know, Jamie Benn is the most minutes played. Technically, he wouldn't have that if they included the North Stars.
Oh, Bill Goldsworthy is not the guy with the most minutes?
They don't carry over, so they're not carrying over there, I guess, in Baltimore.
Cesar Montiago, not the most minutes?
Not Cesar.
No love for Cesar.
Cesar.
No, I think it is Cesar.
Cesar Montiago, I was about to say. It's from my era.
Confirmed. Zay Flowers.
It's crazy, right? It's nuts.
They've been doing this for, 30 years in Baltimore?
Yeah. Had some good receivers over the years.
Just some okay ones,
okay guys, some Jags, but good for Zay Flowers. Lions have 7 players. Vikings and Eagles have 6 each. If you're wondering which Cowboys made it, Micah did get in there. And congratulations to him. Brandon Aubrey, Kevontae Turpin, Tyler Smith among your Cowboy Pro Bowlers. CeeDee Lamb as well. He's made 4 consecutive Pro Bowls. It's the second most by a Cowboys receiver all time, trailing Michael. Playmaker at 5. Micah, first defensive player to be named to the Pro Bowl in each of his first 4 seasons since Aaron Donald. That's elite company right there. But no Jordan Lewis. Jordan Lewis, probably the biggest Cowboys snub if you ask me. Now, he was unanimously selected winner of the Cowboys Good Guy Award, as voted on by the PFWA.
That's the Pro Football Writers there, right?
Thank you. I didn't know. I needed that clarification. But good for him. I mean, Jordan Lewis absolutely is deserving of, I think he's the 2024 Cowboys MVP this year. Just period. Offense, defense, he's your guy. What he's done this year, best season of his career, I think he's been phenomenal.
I would agree with that, Wolchuk. And I would also say Steve Smith Sr. was robbed in his couple of years there in Baltimore. He put up some pretty good numbers. Deserved it. But the list is really bare. After Derek Mason, you go a couple of years that Anquan Boldin had and Torrey Smith had and Steve Smith and Hollywood Brown, and that's it. Oh, yeah. They have really ignored it. I guess, maybe the front office approach to wide receiver.
I asked the Chief this question the other day while you guys were gone. Would you trade Brandon Aubrey for a 2nd-round pick?
No, absolutely not.
The 40th pick in the draft.
Remind yourself what the Cowboys do with 2nd-round picks before you answer this question.
I did have to remember that after I went with the immediate yes. I was like, well, they kind of set their 2nd-round picks on fire a little bit.
It's true.
Broadus had to go all the way back to Sean Lee to justify.
Well, Diggs.
Yeah,
Diggs. That was a good one.
It's at 60.
But you're right. Ultimately, the 2nd-rounders have not panned out. Wait, here.
Tank was the 2nd, wasn't he? Top of the 2nd?
Tank was the 2nd-rounder. Yeah, you sprinkle in there a couple of good ones, but the majority, I mean, you're getting like the Tristan Hills, I mean,
this guy's special. You know, he lets you score from 65 to 70 yards out at the end of halves, at the end of games.
I'm going
to
say no. I got to stay with my Plano guy, Brandon Aubrey. I know
you
win
thought
here.
About it.
I thought about it because they need a lot of help. A lot of
cheap,
help.
Cheap, yeah, cheap through that.
I wouldn't do it for a first.
40th.
You're right. Me neither. Kickers matter, baby. They're football players, too.
No, I'd do it for a first. Inside the top 25.
Yeah, okay. You can go ahead. I'll do it for a first round or two. But that's what it's going to take.
If you're a team.
Just like Derek Lively's untouchable, Aubrey's damn near close.
Honestly. I mean, you might be lined up to take your next Kelvin Joseph with that pick. I don't know.
Just kind of wondered, if you're one of these teams that's a playoff team and you're at the back end of that first round, do you think there's a better player on your board than Brandon Aubrey, what he could do for your offense? And
No. This is, I mean, the efficiency, like the difference of 80% to 90+ with saying, that amount of extension, this is points.
You're taking Tristan Hill or it's, you're taking Brandon
listen,
Aubrey.
Having a kicker is the most nonsensical thing to have in the game of football. It's overpowered as hell. But just because they're not real football players doesn't mean we can ignore the value that they provide. The great ones?
Resent that. By the way, if
were you a kicker?
No, of course not. Are you kidding me? You think I can kick a football? But that's why it's hard, and that's why they're football players.
No, they're not.
They are.
I'm just impressed that Walshick had to think about this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a second-round pick is pretty damn valuable, but I'd rather have Aubrey, I suppose. Cooper Rush gets a $500,000 incentive if he plays 55% of the team snaps this season, okay? I think the Cowboys are monitoring this. He's going into the game with 52.5% of the snaps. So do you see Trey Lance playing in this game to try and avoid having to pay Cooper Rush a $500,000 incentive bonus?
I would say no.
I think that that would be kind of crazy, but Jonathan Jones has put that out, and it's made me wonder a little bit. It would
be a quick way for the Cowboys to earn bleep hole of the week, that's for sure.
He's earned this money by going out there and trying to keep the team afloat.
He should get that.
A $500,000?
Yeah.
I mean, that's speaking Jerry's language.
How many wins did the guy get since Dak was gone? How many games did they win?
Four?
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a good run.
I mean, that's...
I think he's underrated. What have you done for I'm not trying... is this directly going against the cap? This is cap dollars we can't spend? Yeah. Hell no.
Yeah.
He deserves
that. No, you better not, Jerry. That's stupid. We're just giving away a $500,000 against the cap. Meanwhile, we're fighting cheerleaders to keep them at $15 an hour. You know, it's just
he
it doesn't make any
sense.
He always goes
that cheerleader line, and it gets me every time.
Yeah. The cheerleader line?
The cheerleader line.
Yeah, they're paying her $15, Broadus. What do you expect?
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an actual competitive advantage, Brian. I thought you liked team building.
I don't. I really don't. I've had enough of team building.
I'm over it now. I'll see you at the lake.
I'm just trying to get through this team last building game. Deal. Matter of fact, this last Krusty's Corner might be my last
one.
I thought you were a fan of the cheerleaders as well.
I am a fan of the cheerleaders. I'm very much a fan of the cheerleaders. I think it's unfortunate what happens to them.
Hey, we all got to put our nuts on the line for this game that's about to kick off right now. Are you guys going with the Golden Dome or the under Bulldogs?
Give me the hunker down dogs.
Same here. I'm going with the dogs.
Yeah. I'm going with the dogs too.
Oh, no, we got
the
Big Irish 12
are
going to win.
That's the kiss of death. Lucius, can you get in the mix here? You going with the Golden Domers, the Fighting Irish, or the Bulldogs?
I'm going with them dogs.
The dog gauntlet. Good luck.
We're going to look like schmucks in about 3 hours, but we'll see. I will say I think the Eagles are looking a little schmucky, if you ask me. Now, I know you disagree with this, but I do value NFL history, and this is a 40-year record that has a chance to be broken, and the Eagles are saying, no, we're not doing it. Yeah. Saquon Barkley on the cusp. He's 101 yards away. The drama here, just as a fan, I wanted to see
this,
right?
It could have been 50 yards away.
It's against the Giants. Like, just everything that comes with that, your former team, the Giants, their GM loved it. Their owner loved him. The GM's like, we're good, go leave. Now he's fighting for MVP. We're getting in fights over should he even be the MVP. He's 101 yards away. Let him go play for this Eric Dickerson record, and here's Barkley on why he's not doing it.
I mean, he asked me if I wanted to play, if I want to go for it. I said on Sunday, I probably didn't care too much for it. When I slept on it, it was an opportunity to implant my name in football history. I may never get another opportunity like that again. So I'm down, but at the end of the day, I don't care if I'm putting the team at risk. He's the head coach for a reason. He makes the decisions, and whatever decision he wanted to make, I let him know if you want me to play, I'm going to go out there and make sure I get it. And if we don't, I'm okay with that too.
Day of the game, he's going to be thinking to himself, please put me out there.
Please
let me do this.
This record's about to never be broken. I don't think
you think Genty's got a shot with a star on his helmet next year?
No.
No?
No, I don't.
No Genty?
I think he's going to be an outstanding back, but this record's not going to be broken. The way that running backs are used
in
this
40
day,
years. I mean, my gosh, no this is the closest we're probably going to get.
This is Joe DiMaggio's 56 game hitting streak. Is what
sounds like he really wanted to play. Yeah.
He's making his coach look bad.
Yeah, a little bit. Should have just fought to play more in the Cowboys game.
No, I mean,
that was where they screwed this up, dude. Because this is an organization, despite their overvaluing of running back in the free agent market, that makes the tough decisions to win. No way the Cowboys make this tough decision. They're like, we want the record.
Oh, they'd be going for the record.
They're going for the record.
Yeah, no question.
Eagles are like, we want the Super Bowl. Nothing else matters. Sorry, dude, that's about to break NFL history. You're not playing this week.
Yeah, you're not. You can sit your ear down.
Seriously, though, Wolchuk, put yourself in the unthinkable situation of being an Eagles fan. Yeah. Don't you want Barkley to sit this one out because the playoffs mean more?
I think I would want to see history.
No, I want to see history because I know we're going to get bounced by Green Bay in the first round. About
see, that. Yeah, you still got to win. In this case, he's an Eagles fan. He's not a Cowboys fan.
No, I'm saying I'm an Eagles fan.
Oh, okay.
I'm an Eagles fan. Yeah, I want to see the record, but we're about to get bounced in the first round.
There's something is magical about that record. I don't know. But I could also just be crusty in this sense. I get not wanting, you know, the big picture storyline. I 100% get that
It's
argument,
like the home run record.
History's history. 40 years.
You said something there, Wolchuk. It really, really resonated. You know, there's something about some records. And this is one.
This
of
is
them.
A special one.
Yeah,
this is.
We talk about Eric Dickerson's record all the time. We always just we always sink into the history of how much we appreciate and love it. How about some respect for poor? Like, congratulations, Eric Dickerson. His biggest fear is no longer a worry.
He's popping bottles for sure.
Eric Dickerson
he's going full 72 Dolphins on this.
No, he doesn't exactly want right. He that. Doesn't want the record to be broken because he knows that he will no longer be mentioned as the all time leading rusher.
As if anybody ever mentions it ever.
Well, because we're not in a position to mention it.
Because
nobody's getting close.
Nobody gets close.
Like, the position to mention it is the position that Eric Dickerson put us all in 40 years ago, and we could pay respect to it. But up until now, I've been on the show for 3 years, and we've never mentioned it for a single syllable.
I mean,
we've spent 0 seconds of time on it.
We're not mentioning Emmitt Smith is the all-time leading rusher every show.
That's not every show, but a couple times a year gets brought up.
That's an incredible record.
I would say it significantly elevates Eric Dickerson's profile.
It does.
You know, if he doesn't have that record, maybe he's like just another running back.
Just another everyday Dickerson.
Nobody
wants to be an everyday
Dickerson. Tom Dickerson and Harry.
You want to be a special Dickerson. Packers cornerback Jair Alexander's got a knee scope. It's likely out for the season. That's a big loss for Green Bay. Although I feel like this happens to him quite a bit. He's a guy that's not available a lot for Green Bay. They're used to playing without him. We got more history on the line in the NFL. 11th 1,000-yard season is on the line here for Mike Evans, Texas kid.
He hasn't got that yet?
Hasn't gotten it yet. He did not achieve it last week. He's looking for it this week. Here was Baker on the importance of getting that for his guy.
Let's put things in perspective. You're talking about tying somebody that has all receiving records across the NFL throughout history. You're talking about somebody that's consistently been somebody in this community that has raised people up, continue to be the face of this franchise and be there for people. And so that record is important for us for, you know, to get him to that. Obviously winning is the most important part, but those two things go hand in hand. Mike's a huge part of this offense. He's a huge part of this passing game. And so getting him involved early and often is a lot of the reason we've had success. And so those things go hand in hand. Yeah, there's balance and the most important thing is winning, but I see it playing out. You know, if we win, that's Mike's getting the record. And so, we got to focus on winning and getting him the ball, but guys playing for each other. And that's Mike won't say anything about it, and that's just who he is. And that's why we love him. That's why everybody loves him. That's why he's been so consistent for so long. It's never been about just himself.
85 yards away. And they're 4-0 this year when he gets 85 yards or more. They win, they clinch the NFC South. They'd be the only team to have made the postseason in the NFC for 5 straight years. And they'd be the only team in NFL history to start a season 4-6 back-to-back years and then make the playoffs. So a lot on the line for Mike Evans and the Bucs to be division champs there in the NFC South.
They win against New Orleans and they are in no matter what, but if they lose and Atlanta beats Carolina, then Atlanta wins the division?
I believe so.
Wow, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. Obviously, you wouldn't want to make him too much the focal point, but if I am New Orleans, you know, is it toxic to be like, we're not going to let this guy have the record against us? You know, if they're going to win the game, they're not going to be throwing deep balls to Mike Evans. We got double coverage whole game. He's going to have to earn it.
I'm sure you don't want him to break it again.
I don't want a record broken.
I mean, this used to be really fun when Lattimore was on the team. Like, Lattimore and Evans had some, like, really good back-and-forth battles, but now he's in Washington. I don't know that even if they were to double him, if the Saints have the horses to be able to keep him from this.
No, but if I'm New Orleans, yeah, I'm definitely making it a point to, yeah, you're going to have to earn all of this. Absolutely. I think that's just competition. That's just being a professional.
No doubt. Last few things, we got the Rams resting Stafford. So Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be starting a quarterback for the Rams. And Stetson Bennett, speaking of Georgia Bulldogs, he's going to be their backup. And then the Chiefs are also going to be Wentz in it against the Broncos. Broncos got a win to get in. And the Chiefs definitely don't want Cincinnati getting in. So they're kind of like, Denver, you can go ahead and take this one if you want. Mm-hmm. So we'll get the Carson Wentz show.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Eric Kendricks show coming up in about an hour. Calvin Watkins is with us next, talking Cowboys here on the Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. We have Calvin Watkins, Morning News, talking Cowboys here with you in just a second. This segment of the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today. carsforkids.org as Calvin Watkins joins us now here on your home of the Cowboys. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Good afternoon.
Are you you big college football guy? You enjoying these playoffs?
Yeah, I like watching football. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Huh. I don't know all the players until the draft, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I like it. I mean, I was thrown off by the Texas game yesterday because I was out and about having a few cocktails and a cigar, and I'm watching the Texas game, and then we had to do a conference call with Mike McCarthy. So I left the cigar lounge to go in my car to do the conference call.
Okay.
So the whole thing took about 15 minutes. And then when I got back into the lounge where I was at, I was in Fuego in Frisco. When I got in there, I saw the game was tied. I was like, what in the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Right? So it was kind of, you know, college football is so much fun to watch. It takes forever to play it, but it's fun to watch. So, yeah.
Speaking
of, I answered your question.
No, it did. I love that answer, man. And I love, you know, mixing some sports journalism with an occasional cold beer or cocktail. You know, I think you're doing it right. Now, speaking of the draft, though, and college football, this game kind of feels like going into Cowboys Commanders. It's must lose here to maintain that spot in the top half of the first round, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think the Cowboys are going to lose. They have a QB dilemma to settle, but I knew they were going to lose last week in Philly, which they did. I thought they'd be a little bit more competitive, but they weren't. And now I saw Micah Parsons on injury report with a wrist injury, so I'm like, oh boy, here we go. So. You know, I think the Cowboys will be okay. I think they'll lose this game on Sunday, and their draft position will be just fine.
You know, now Jerry and Steven would never talk about, like, actively tanking, but do you think they're making some business decisions with that in mind here on these injured players?
Well, I think one of the business decisions they made was with DeMarcus Lawrence, and another one they made was with CeeDee Lamb. You know, I think if they had been in the playoff hunt, CeeDee Lamb is definitely playing. And I think Lawrence would probably, because I remember talking to Lawrence about a month ago, and his objective was to return this season at some point. But now that, you know, the season has been a wash for the last 3 weeks, what's the point, right? So, yeah, I think some business decisions have already been made.
And playing Trey Lance, I think, would be a big step in the direction of not winning, you know. Do you think they're considering that in light of a bonus money and how it affects the cap or actual, you know, real dollars? What all goes into that decision, Calvin?
Well, your boy Cooper Rush, he just needs about $250K, you know, to that's all that's left in that bonus, right? I would think in order for him to get that bonus, he would have to play at least 65 snaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys are averaging about 68 snaps a game offensively. So that would mean you have to play the whole game, in essence, to kind of get that bonus. Do you want to upset Cooper Rush and his agent by not giving him a chance to get that bonus? And, you know, we're only talking about $500,000. It's not like we're talking like $500 million, you know. So I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue with the cap. And the answer is, yeah, why not? Let's play Trey Lance. Let's see what you got. Coop, you got $250,000 out of $500,000 already. We're sorry you can't get the rest of it, but we're running a football program here, not a cash app. So, you know, play Trey Lance, play Will Greer, and keep it moving. As much as I like Cooper Rush, and I would like for him to get his money, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Were you surprised by the news of Ezekiel Elliott getting released?
Yeah, I was. I was very surprised, especially New Year's Eve, where I was about to go out and get a few drinks. So, yeah. So I was very,
We've
very
determined
surprised.
You like to drink, Calvin.
I mean, you know.
I think this
you know,
is what this interview has like, done for you so far.
Well, we like to drink with you, Calvin.
Sipping on something right now.
I haven't had a drink today. See, you know, the thing is clear.
Well, what are you doing, man? Get on that.
No, I gotta work. I gotta write.
But just go in your car right and now. Drink and work on your phone. Jeez.
I was surprised that they cut Zeke. I thought they should have done it months ago. They weren't trying to play him. Yeah. You know, they should have had. You know, I felt bad for Zeke because I'm sure he came in this situation thinking he was going to be the guy, right? And they held him out of, you know, they limited his reps in training camp practices. So Zeke had the thought that, oh, okay, I'm going to be the guy because they're limiting, you know, how much work I'm going to get in camp. So when the season starts, I'll be fresh. And he starts the Cleveland game. And one of the first snaps he gets, he faces Denzel Ward, he jumps over him. So everyone's happy, right? But then ever since then, they just said, no, we're going to go with Rico Dow. And when you talk to Rico Dow's people, they are not surprised by this. They figured that they were going to get more snaps than Zeke. So either the franchise, you know, misled Zeke into thinking he was going to get more snaps, which I think is true and to a certain degree, or Zeke misread everything, which I also think is true. So they should have cut Zeke months ago. I thought before the Atlanta game,
yeah,
when he didn't show up to meetings, that,
sure.
that I thought coming home from Atlanta, I said, there's no way he's on the roster.
Yeah.
There's no way. And he was on the roster. Why, I don't know. And don't give me he's a great leader and all this kind of stuff, because if he's a great leader, you don't suspend your great leaders mm-hmm. for being late to team meetings. That's not what leaders are.
Hey, Calvin, while you were listening to Mike in your car, did you mm-hmm. get a sense that maybe that McCarthy and this coaching staff really wasn't interested in playing Zeke in the front office are the ones that are really were the ones behind him being here?
The indication I got was Mike wanted Zeke on this team. That was the indication that I received when all this first started back okay. in the spring, right?
Okay.
Now, maybe during training camp in practices when they're seeing Zeke and in full pads and all that, maybe Mike said, oh, boy, I don't think he's got it.
Sure.
Right? And then maybe, and I have not talked to anybody about this, so this is just me speculating. I'm thinking that Mike might have saw that Zeke doesn't have it and said, I got to cut him. But the front office said, nah, we need to keep him.
Yeah.
So he had to just ride it out. So that I think that might be part of it. Sometimes, you know, head coach can't get everything he wants.
Okay, let me ask you this question, theory I have. I think they're releasing him early because he was going to be inactive. And
yeah,
they didn't,
that might be true.
And
yeah.
they didn't want to go through all that again of him. They didn't want his final game with the Cowboys being one where he was inactive. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's be honest here, okay?
Yeah.
Can we be honest since you guys know I'm drinking all the time?
Let's be honest. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm pouring one right now, Calvin.
Just
go ahead.
Being
pouring
dudes.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. They're treating Ezekiel Elliott like he's Jason Witten.
True.
You know, they're treating him like he's going to have a gold jacket. They're treating him like he's going to be a Ring of Honor recipient.
Yeah.
And Zeke was a fantastic player. He's not a Hall of Fame player. He's going to be short of 10,000 rushing yards. He's going to be short of passing or tying Tony Dorsett for the second most touchdowns in franchise history. You know, Zeke was a good player. He had a 3 or 4 year good run. He got a great contract. He held out, got his money. I'm all good with that. But you know, let's stop with the, oh my gosh, we got to be so sensitive about Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, what are we doing here? You know, so.
Well, the front office is being sensitive. That's what I think is going on.
Right. I mean, if he's going to be inactive, look, check this out. DeMarcus Ware, who is a Hall of Fame player, mm-hmm. he's in the Ring of Honor, one of the great guys in the sport. He's got a fantastic story. The Cowboys cut DeMarcus Ware because they didn't want to pay him anymore.
They want to pay him.
They cut him.
Yeah.
They want to pay him.
Yeah.
So, instead of saying, you know what, you're an iconic player, we just need to ride this out with you, right? And they didn't do that to DeMarcus Ware. And he won a Super Bowl, obviously, when he went to Denver. But all, for whatever reason, these guys are treating Ezekiel Elliott like he's Jim Brown or something. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, am I missing something here with this?
I mean, I would say, you know, Zeke's been misreading things since, like, 2019, maybe 2020 at the latest. Why do you think he ran out of gas so much faster than other, like, elite running backs?
He got put on a lot of tread on that tire early in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he delivered. He delivered. Maybe there were times, you know, when you look back on it, they should have said, hey, you know what? It's the fourth quarter. We're up 2 scores. Let someone else finish the job, right? Because we're going to need you for later in the season. You know, Zeke is a thick, big, tough kid. He had a knee injury that messed him up, I think, for a year and a half that he had to fight through. So this is not about his toughness. I just think that he's a human being and your body wears out. And his body wore out. Can he help some team? I really don't know. I mean, when I saw him, I watched like the last 5 or 6 games of his in New England last year. And I saw some good things, but I didn't see a guy like runs like Rico Dowell does, right?
Yeah.
He's a good backup running back, but, you know, you got to use him. And the Cowboys felt like he wasn't better than Rico. You know, they felt like there were certain situations that, where it was 3rd and 1, and you go, hey, Zeke can get you 1 yard. He wasn't on the field. Man had 13 snaps the last 2 games of his career. That's not how you treat a person that you think is an iconic player the way they talk about him, mm-hmm. right? You know, they talk about him, like I said, like he's Jim Brown or something.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Calvin, going into this finale with Washington, how much do you think the win or the loss impacts whether or not Mike McCarthy or anyone else on the staff is back for next year?
I'm not sure if Jerry's made his decision, but I don't think this game will impact it either way. I mean, this is a game that's expected to lose. If they win, that just is more of a confirmation that the team has not quit on Mike McCarthy, and I think that's about the culture that he has, you know, brought to this franchise. You know, when Jason Garrett was the coach, and I like Garrett, I never had the feeling that there was a culture around them. You know, it was all about, well, Tom Landry used to do it, so we're going to do the blue-white scrimmage. Well, Tom, you know, what do you do, Jason? You know what I'm saying? So Mike McCarthy brought some new things here, which I think is a good thing. Whether or not he comes back, I was talking to Todd Archer about this before I left the Star today. And I said, do you bring him back? And me and Todd were like, we don't know. I really don't know what you do with Mike McCarthy because I think he's a good coach. The problem is he has not elevated this franchise to the next level, and neither did Jason Garrett. And Jason Garrett got basically 9 years to do it. So maybe you give Mike McCarthy another 3 years. But one thing I will say from talking to people close to Mike McCarthy, if Jerry Jones says, hey, I'll give you 1 more year, I don't think Mike McCarthy is going to take that.
No.
I think Mike McCarthy's like, you got to give me a multi-year deal to stay.
Well, what about that? What, you know, Calvin, I honestly believe he's worried about his staff. He might not be worried about himself, but is he? Mm-hmm. You think he's worried about his staff?
I think all coaches worry about their staffs to a certain degree. But as Brian Schottenheimer and John Fossil said, and they're coaches' sons, they said, we're big boys. We can handle it.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
right.
You know, and that's what they said, right? Uh-huh. And yes, McCarthy is worried about his staff, and I think that's why if he's presented with a, you know,
I mean, I think he's worried about Scott Tolzien. I think he's worried about guys like Scott Tolzien and people like that. That's who I think he's worried about.
Hey, check this out, Scott Tolzien. If he knows what he's doing, he'll get a job.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not. That's nothing against Scott Tolzien.
Yeah.
And I think Mike is concerned about his staff. That's why I was told that if Jerry says we'll give you another year, I think Mike would reject it because
yeah.
his staff needs more stability.
Right.
His staff needs to get the 2 or 3 years. Right. You know, like I found out today, the strength and conditioning staff,
yeah.
their contracts are up too.
Yeah.
Right. So you got a whole strength and conditioning staff that is like we don't really want our next paychecks, right? So it's a mess. So I think that's why Jerry, whatever he decides to do, he's got to say to Mike McCarthy, I'm going to give you 2 or 3 year extension.
Yeah.
And then Mike can look at the staff and say, hey, guys, I'm here for 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah.
Let's run this back.
Calvin, like with a minute left, can I ask you your thought about Mike Zimmer coming back?
I don't think Mike wants to come back, not because he hates it here. I just think he's been through so much, losing his son 2 years ago. He admitted that he, you know, made some mistakes in implementing the defense. He's got racehorses. He's got grandkids. You know, he's got money. He's good. So he came back as a favorite for Jerry. I think Mike is done. I'm not saying it in a derogatory way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I think he's just retiring.
There you go.
Calvin, when you're tracking down these stories, whether it's the season or the offseason, how much of getting the goods on the team involves maybe cracking a couple coldies with Jerry?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure me and Jerry will have a few, maybe hopefully in at the Combine in Indianapolis. Jerry is one of the best sports personalities, businessmen, owners, executives in the history of sports. And to have a beer with him or a cocktail or just shooting the bull with him is pretty cool.
Right on, man. Well, pretty cool to have a chat with you about this team. Thanks for all your insights and takes on where we go from here, and we look forward to catching up with you soon.
Hey, you guys have a great day. Happy New Year.
Cheers.
Happy New
Year.
Hi, Calvin.
Hey, go there get yourself a drink, Calvin.
Calvin Watkins, morning news here with you. 105.3 The Fan. Okay, it is that time of year. You know, it's very festive out there still. The traffic is light. Yeah. Yeah. You know, people are in a good mood still. Still got
well,
that
I tell
holiday.
You what about them riders, bro.
Yes.
Riders can get after when it comes
to
a little bit
they
of liquor.
Can. Yeah. They can.
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on with Calvin for a second. Then he confessed right there, low key, if you heard
sure
him.
Did.
I said, hey, what's going on with Calvin on his phone? I was like, you ready to get on the air? Yeah. But then he later confessed, well, you know, I was getting after him last night. And I'm looking forward to getting to it again. Yeah. I get it now.
Hey, those are the guys that you can guarantee in Oxnard are going to be at the Red Room.
Yeah.
You know, like Chill and Calvin, the riders. Man.
Yeah, the writers.
They
tell you what.
That drink.
Yeah. It's like ingrained in the culture of sports media. It really is.
Something about the writers. They got their little vinegar finger right there because they always stirring their drink.
Yeah. Okay, Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, let's talk about this Commanders offense. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. C-Notes coming up at 4 o'clock, Cowboys News of the Evening. Time now for Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king of the Krusty's himself, brought us.
Thank you very much, Gerald. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Washington Commanders. Commanders are coming in here. They're going to try and win this football game because they're going to do it for their seeding. That's something that they're believing in right now.
Thankfully. And that is a big win for them.
Yeah, and, you know, they want to finish out the year strong. I've been listening to a lot of Dan Quinn, you know, some of his audio stuff from media availabilities and reading things, so they're shooting for something to keep that sixth seed, because that means they would likely go play the Rams in a dry conditions, you know, perfect conditions there at SoFi instead of having to maybe go back up to the Vet. Who knows the Vet, the Link? What kind of conditions that they might get up there? So. This game, it will be important to them to win.
I think there's even a chance that it could end up being the Buccaneers. I don't think the Rams and Bucks have completely locked in where they're at. The Bucks could end up getting the 3 seed, Rams the 4 seed, and then you go to Tampa. Either way, you'd much rather go to Tampa or Los Angeles than filthy.
I kind of felt like that. Yeah, you're not wrong about that. I just feel like that maybe I think the Bucks will take care of business this weekend, though. It's kind of what I think.
But if they do and the Rams don't, then all of a sudden...
Then they go up. Yeah. They go up. You're right about that. Well, anyway, it's better for them to go than to go to Philadelphia, which
for sure.
They absolutely don't want to do right now. All right. The things that you were able to do against this Commanders offense last time you met was that the Micah Parsons... Mike Zimmer did a really good job of moving Micah Parsons around. But especially him playing him as like as a 3 technique here. This is where he was able to, it's almost like Micah said, let me line up against Nick Allegretti and let me line up against Tyler Biadasz and see if we can do some good here. And he absolutely did some good. So if Micah Parsons were to play in this game, I'm sure the Commanders have to worry about their situation. their offensive line really was a mess last week against Atlanta in this game. Andrew Wiley is dealing with a groin injury. They've used two different right tackles in the game. Cornelius Lucas played in the game, and Trent Scott played in the game, and they had some problems. The Falcons were able to get after him with some blitz packages with bringing the linebackers, and the Commanders had a hard time picking those things up in this game. And it actually came down to Brian Robinson, the running back, and a couple of them gave up some sacks and pressures because of what the Falcons were able to do with that blitz. There's a chance that Eckler is going to be back in this game for the Commanders. He's missed several weeks. Matter of fact, he's been out since the last Dallas game.
Oh, that was the last time he played on that kickoff when he got his bell rung?
That's the last time he's played. So Austin Eckler could be back in the lineup. But they struggled last week in some of the blitz pickup things, and I went back and watched the Dallas game from last year, this the first time that they met, and they Micah playing as that three technique. They're just like getting matched up one-on-one with these guards and then these centers, and they were able to do some good work against that. The question is going to be who's going to play opposite of Bland in this football game.
Can't be Booth.
We'll see.
Or can it? I mean, if you're going for the loss.
It absolutely can. You're right about that.
Kind of wish you could play with 11 Booths.
Who else are you going to play out there? I mean, you might as well play him.
Yeah, there was some talk that, you know, I know that Eric and I in the pregame show talked about maybe playing Izzy out there and then playing Lewis inside and then kind of flipping the two, you know, in certain situations maybe to give the Commanders a little bit different look. I think you got to travel with Terry McLaurin in this game. They've got some good receivers. Zacharias is a good receiver. Brown's a good receiver, but Terry McLaurin is the guy that I think is the one you have to worry about the most.
AJ Terrell shut him down the other night.
Yeah,
it was all about Zacchaeus. Former Falcon had a huge game against his former team.
Sure, it's crazy to see him. He's usually up in that sycamore tree.
Yeah. Well, Terry, you know, there's like say the vertical passing game with him is really really big. I mean, usually these receivers, you wouldn't, you know, when you start to look at the best routes that they run and the things that they've had success with, the go route is not the one that you would always say, okay, well, wow, they've had success. But, you know, several of his touchdowns this year have been just vertical routes that they've run. We saw it last week with Brown from the Eagles. He's another one of those vertical players. But Terry McLaurin, you're going to have to be able to carry him. And I just feel like you're going to need just go ahead and walk Bland over with him and then try and deal with everything else. Zach Ertz has done a really, really nice job for them. He's a guy that's going to play a lot of the slot positions. He's not going to play in line very much. So where his catches are going to come from are the stuff underneath in the red zone. He's very, very effective doing that as well. But he's going to play flexed more than he's going to play in line. And so that's another one you're going to have to deal with. I mentioned Brian Robinson. Brian Robinson's averaging now about 4.3 yards a carry. His numbers have kind of gone down, but where they make up for it is with Jaden Daniels running the football. You know, Jaden Daniels is going to have success. He's going to get you those 10-plus yard runs, those explosive runs. It's kind of gone down a little bit. Last time the Cowboys played, Brian Robinson got hurt his ankle the very first play of the game, and it affected the way that he played. But he's really, really, really good catching the football. This is a really big screen team, too. So not only are you going to get the wide receiver screens, you're going to get the running back screens, too. And so they're going to throw the ball to Robinson. That's something that, but what's also interesting, too, about Robinson is that 20% of his runs here of late have been, he's been getting stuffed. That means zero yards or negative yards. And they've had some trouble with him running. That's why his yards per carry. When the first time these two teams met, he was near 5 yards a carry. And now he's down to 4.3. So
yeah, they're not really riding him as much either. I think Rodriguez was doing touchdown some vulturing.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think pass protection, to your point.
Yeah.
I think they're putting Rodriguez out there for that as well.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a problem for them. And so if you're the Cowboys, absolutely, I think the blitzing aspect of things would be good. Linebacker blitzes. They ran some secondary blitzes. We saw Jordan Lewis and Wilson come on some blitzes that affected Daniels last time. I think Zimmer did a pretty good job of confusing Daniels with some of his looks, and he wasn't as sure about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same thing. Brandon Coleman, the left tackle, is a guy I would definitely attack. But like I say, keep an eye on Nick Allegretti, and then we also know about Tyler Biadasz. Those would be the areas that I would clearly look at as you get ready for this game.
All righty. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. On the Fan coming up next, a C-note. There is a former NFL president says Jerry's dream of winning a Super Bowl is dead. The Eric Kendricks Show coming up at about 4:20 or so. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.